You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches.
Hey, can you believe it is a cold, rainy day in Southern California? What happened?
I know, you picked the wrong time to come visit.
I mean, I was in a Lyft car a little while ago, and the guy, he's like in shorts, and so he's like still hoping it's going to be Southern California, but he's kind of dismal in his mood, and then he's like, does it ever rain like this in North Carolina? And I'm like... Well, yeah, it rains pretty frequently like this. It was just like he didn't know what to do with the weather today.
Oh, totally. With Shelby and Bear, I've been kind of trying to help them to get a category that, like, not everyone gets to go to the beach all the time. Like what a privilege it is. Anyway, so the other week when it was raining, it was pouring rain. And at one point, Shelby turned to Barrett and she said, Barrett, some people have to live like this.
They just wouldn't know what it's like in Seattle at all.
I know. I haven't helped them. Anyways, yeah, so that's so funny. Well, Dad, today we are continuing our series on the Leadership Edge personal vision statement. And so we've been breaking it down clause by clause. Would you state the entire vision statement for us, please?
Every time we do this, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I flub this, it's going to be horrible.
Well, see, but that's anyway. Why I have you do it. There you go. Anyways, so
the personal vision statement is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman and my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory.
Awesome. Okay. And so today we are talking about the second to last clause. So to serve his purposes. So tell me more.
So where did we get to serve his purposes? Well, I think it came from, and I said this in the last episode, if you really accept the fact that we step forward as God's man or woman, that he has bought us with the price, that he has ransomed us, that he has adopted us, that we're owned by him, then it just makes sense that we would spend our lives not seeking and fulfilling our own purposes, not seeking and fulfilling everyone else's purposes, but we would spend our lives fulfilling his purposes. Mm-hmm. to get clear about in the everyday life that we have in our marriage, family, career, community, church, what are his purposes? And I think, as you know, Laura, I think that requires some robust, really thoughtful cogitation to come to understand what are his purposes in the different spheres that I live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and you know, I think there are probably, at least for me, there are some areas of life where it's easier for me to see, oh yeah, I'm living for God's purposes right now. You know, like mm-hmm. when I'm reading my kids a Bible story, or we're having a spiritual conversation with someone who came over to dinner at our house, or something like that. But, what does it look like to serve God's purposes, you know, when you're working 10-hour, 12-hour work days and you're, you know, that's your kind of mm-hmm. work is a huge part of what you're doing. What does it look like to do a busy season of work life for God's purposes?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you want to think about it, how a lot of times Christians, at least in our country, tend to think about it, is you tend to think, well, if I'm at work 8 or 10 hours, then, you know, maybe if I lead a Bible study at lunch, then that would count. Maybe if I got to share the gospel during the day, that would count. That would be a purpose of God. Maybe if I prayed before a meeting, that would count. But the other 8 or 10 hours I'm there today, God doesn't really have any purposes, and I'm just there. And you know, I guess maybe one other purpose we would tend to think of is, well, if I make enough money today to support missionaries, then maybe that counts. That's what I call living in the false dichotomy of secular and spiritual, where we have a very narrow understanding of the spiritual purposes, of God's purposes, and we tend to just think it's basically going to either be something about evangelism, of sharing the gospel with someone, or discipleship, helping someone to grow in the gospel. But if it's not about one of those two things, then it's not really spiritual, and God really doesn't have an opinion or a purpose, and we're just kind of left on our own.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely a travesty. It just doesn't fit with Scripture at all. But granted that, if you agree with me, yeah, that's not the best or only way to think about it. It is hard to understand. So what are God's purposes in the moments and hours at work or in my neighborhood or wherever, where I'm not doing something that we would kind of quote unquote call spiritual? And you know, one way you can get at that is you can ask this question. You can ask the question, when I was asleep last night, what was God doing? So when I was asleep last night, what was God doing? And, you know, I think ultimately at the core of what God was doing was he was declaring his glory, and he was revealing his glory to mankind through creation and through other means. But he was also, you know, back to evangelism and discipleship, somewhere in the world he was calling people to faith in Christ for the first time. And somewhere, places in the world, he was calling people to walk faithfully with him. So certainly those things are going on, but the Bible says he's doing other things. It says that he's providing for creation. You know, it's interesting, in the Psalms, it has these pictures that like every animal anywhere in the world is looking to God to feed them every day. And so there's this whole notion, and not just notion, this reality of God's providence for creation. He is providing for his creation. And that is central to what he's doing. There's also a strong teaching in the Bible that he is restraining evil and he is establishing what's right. And you know, we tend to think we live in a pretty broken world, but we don't know the half of how broken it could be if God wasn't actively every day, through all kinds of means, restraining evil, restraining malevolence, and establishing righteousness and justice. So he's doing that all night while we're asleep. And some other number of things, some that the Bible speaks very clearly towards, and some that maybe we'll understand in heaven. But I think that what that question does is it enlarges my mind to see that if through my job, say if I'm providing for my family, for my community, if I'm providing money for my church through what I make, or to other nonprofits, if I'm doing anything that is around providence, providing for myself and others in ways that fit with God's honor and glory, then I'm serving his purposes. And if in the way that I do my work, even if it's just mundane work, if I'm doing it in a way that would establish what's right and what's ethical and would restrain what's wrong or evil, then I'm serving his purposes. And it's interesting, I know in a minute we're going to get to a quote by one of the people of the Reformation. I think that in the Reformation, they tended to think about what's spiritual and what's secular more in terms of, is it done in faith? Meaning, as you feed your children, as you homeschool your kids, as I do my work at the office, as I'm involved in the community, am I trusting God to strengthen me and to guide me? And am I trusting him that as I follow him, that he will accomplish his purposes? So you could say, well, what determines whether it's spiritual or secular is who told you to do it, meaning if God told you to do it, then it's spiritual. But you could also think about in terms of, if I'm doing this with trust in God, then I'm serving his purposes. That distinguishes it. So I have blabbered on here, Laura, a long time. Does this make sense, and thoughts or pushbacks on any of that?
Totally. No, I did not feel like you were blathering on. There's a couple of things that are in my mind right now. So one, first of all, I want to say this is really encouraging because I think, you know, for example, my husband, Adam, who's an attorney, like the things that you were saying about seeking justice or working to, I mean, even things like establishing order and, or, you know, I am a stay-at-home mom, and I was reading something recently that was talking about how God is a God of order, and and so even, you know, cleaning my kitchen, things that aren't necessarily strengths, you know, like basically what you're saying is anything that we do can be done, like as we're seeking God and seeking to be faithful in our spheres of influence, then it can all bring glory to God. So that's just like a very encouraging reminder to me. One thing I wanted to circle back to. Okay, so you said, when I was asleep last night, what was God doing? And Dad, sometimes I hear these things that you say, and I'm like, that. I think I kind of get that, and then I have to kind of let it simmer for a while, and maybe like 6 months later, I really understand what you're saying. So this may be one of those, but let's see if, that's just an interesting way to frame it. Are you saying, like, is the point of it being while we're sleeping is that these are things that God is doing completely apart from any human, quote-unquote, help or involvement? Like, that God is always accomplishing his purposes?
Well, no, like, with all the things I mentioned that he was doing last night while I was asleep, he was working through people accomplishing many of those things.
Okay.
You know, like the animals that he fed on the backside of the Andes, that there was no people out there to feed, he did that on his own. But a lot of the things I mentioned, he used people. I think the reason this question, you know, when I was asleep last night, what was God doing? I just think we are so stuck in understanding God's purpose is really only through ourself.
Yeah.
And so if I'm taking action, if I'm sharing the gospel, if I'm working in a way to honor and glorify God through my work, then God's purposes are being served. And that's exactly right, but I think we never get large thinking enough to consider all the things he's doing beyond me.
Yeah.
And that it really is him accomplishing his purposes rather than sort of, well, it's all up to me. And so if I'm faithful, then his purposes are being accomplished. And if I'm not, they're not. The reason I like that question is I'm asleep doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it makes me realize, and the Lord God Almighty, who's my Father, is accomplishing all these things that are almost unimaginable to me. Does that make sense, Laura?
Yes, that does. Well, and one thing, I mean, in this and in every other part of the vision statement, but it always gets back to like viewing ourselves in relation to God and seeing that he is the one who's in control. We are joining him in what he's doing, but that he's the focus, not like my action, my responsibilities, my, like, that all matters too, but it's got to be framed in light of who God is and what he's doing. And I think that's such a good reminder, at least for me, something that, I just need to be reminded of that pretty regular, like so often. Yeah. So,
well, I think that means you're an American Christian, meaning that's just, you know, I don't know if I'd say this is really one of the great moments, but one of the moments I love most of the recent 5 or 10 years as I had someone look at me with complete exasperation and say, "You are just too God-centered." And and I felt like that was maybe the kindest thing the person could have said to me. But yeah. my thought was, I don't know how you could be too God-centered. Uh-huh. Meaning, you know, I don't think till we get to heaven will we have any notion of how it really is centered in on Him. And our actions are important, and they're needful, and they're a response of our faith and all that. But it really is this show. There are a lot of days where I just have to hum, you know, He's got the whole world in His hands, you know, because it just reminds me that He's got it all in His hands, and He's working His purposes. So when we say, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes, uh-huh. it is exactly what you said of joining with Him and finding our cues from Him and from His Word and from His Spirit as to what He's doing, and then serving those purposes alongside with Him, all for His honor and glory.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Okay. So as I was reading the personal vision statement, and listeners, we will be including this document as part of the show notes. It basically goes clause by clause through the personal vision statement and has correlating verses and sometimes one or two quotes related to each specific clause. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do. But anyways, in that personal vision statement document, I was struck by a section that says, the quote says, "All callings serve God's purposes. Luther declared that God and the angels smile when a man changes a diaper."
Yes.
William Tyndale wrote that if our desire is to please God, pouring water, washing clothes, cobbling shoes, and preaching the word is all one. And that that whole quote just really challenged me to think about the areas of my own life that just don't seem, you know, that important or missional, things like, you know, meal planning, but just the repetitive tasks, you know, that don't directly seem to relate to any important goal. So I like the way that you're kind of challenging that and challenging me to broaden my thinking. So you said something about that which determines if something is spiritual or missional is who told you to do it. Do you remember saying that earlier?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, if God, if I feel that God led me to the marriage that I'm in, to the family that I'm a part of, if He led me to the job that I have and the community I'm a part of and the church, mm-hmm. if I feel that if I feel, you know, from His Word and Spirit that He led me to these places, mm-hmm. then my involvement there is not secular. Mm-hmm. It is spiritual because he's the boss. He's the sovereign. He's the Lord God of creation. And so that opens up everything. So what makes it spiritual or secular is not, am I quoting a verse or am I working on an Excel spreadsheet?
Uh-huh.
What makes it spiritual is who told me to do it. But as I mentioned just a minute ago, I can work on the Excel spreadsheet and believe, you know, God told me to do this, so it's spiritual. But I think kind of a deeper part of that is, and so I must trust Him as I'm doing this. Meaning, periodically I should pray and just, you know, God, please help me to, as I'm making these calculations, as I'm figuring out this formula or working on this financial projection, God, please help me. Please give me the strength, the wisdom, the patience, the clarity of thought that I need to do this well. I think that we've talked, I think, in some of these episodes about the humility. One way to define humility is it's kind of a metric, an indicator of our dependence upon God for everything. And I think in those spiritual things that God calls us to do, either quoting verses or working on Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah.
We do them with our trust in God, with uh-huh. running to Him for the strength and energy that we need to do it well and to do it in a way that brings honor and glory to Him.
Yeah, man, that's so good. And so, so that's why then changing a diaper is spiritual work. Is that what you're saying? Do you have any other kind of thoughts about that quote?
Yeah, well I think the one reason probably why it honors God for men to change diapers is because for most men, it's a humbling. Uh-huh. It's a submitting. It's a yielding, you know. Uh-huh. And men, you know, we need that. But I think the other reason that the reformer would say it was spiritual is because God called him to do that. God called him to be a father of the child.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't mean that he delegates diapers to his wife. That means that, you know, as the father, as the husband, he humbles himself to the spiritual service of changing diapers. And yeah. And that's huge. And it, again, I think most of us men, I know I certainly did and do, really need to hear that.
Yeah. Man, this is all good. Okay. So we're running tight on time. But can I ask you a couple more questions?
Oh, you bet.
So, okay, let me ask you, how does this square with, 'cause I hear and agree with what you're saying that, even if our day goes differently than we expect, or we don't see fruit from our labor, you know, we can trust that, we can still be doing things according or for God's purposes. But how does that fit with a job where I am responsible for measurable results? You know, like how do we square, you know, I'm serving God's purposes, however it looks, but then also sometimes we need to have a specific outcome. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We can be very convinced that in our job we're there to serve God's purposes. And our boss still rightly says, you know, by Friday at 3:00 in the afternoon, you need to give me this report.
Yeah.
And so there are results that we have to give, that we have to, you know, make. And I think with that, we do it with trust in God.
Hmm.
You know, is back to that trusting God where we're saying to Him, God, you see the deliverable, you see the timeline. I want to do the best I know to do. Please give me the strength to do this and to get it done by Friday at 3:00 and it to be something that would honor and glorify you. You know, we talked in an early episode about this idea of by faith I must do all God calls me to do today and then I must leave the results to Him.
Hmm.
And I think that's exactly right. Again, I do it in faith, by faith. I need to do everything He calls me to do today, including that report my boss wants by 3:00. But I need to do it by faith, and I need to trust Him with the results.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dad, any chance I get, I like to ask you to tie in a story, because that's one of my favorite things. Yeah. So, do you have any, short stories or
yeah.
a picture that you could leave us with?
Yeah, as
this.
I was thinking about this one, I was thinking about, I think we mentioned in one of the early podcasts, the episodes about the what we around Leadership Edge call the Kitty Snot
Kitty
story,
Snot.
Which you'll have to find the
Classic.
Kitty Snot story. But, you know, for the listeners, for 12 years, I owned and managed a commercial cleaning business in Fort Worth, Texas, and we did office buildings and doctor's offices and floors and windows and all that. And we also did maid service in high-end homes. And so I had, you know, a number of people that were our crews that managed, but then I also would be out on the accounts at times. And I never really wanted to be running this business. It was
uh-huh.
not what I wanted to do. It wasn't, I didn't feel like it felt fit with my gifts. I just was chafing under running this business when I could be doing some other things that I was a lot more drawn to, a lot more passionate about, probably a lot more gifted in. And so God and I are kind of wrestling with this, or maybe I'm wrestling with Him in this. And so it's my turn to go to one of our houses one day, and I go there, and there's a elderly woman, lives by herself, and in the last month or so, she had come down with cancer. And part of her malady was that her legs were just swelling very large and very painful. And the only way that she could find comfort is if her legs were elevated, but she was no longer able to lift them up by herself. So as I'm walking through the house from room to room that day, cleaning, I walk by where she's sitting, and she is very kind of shy, but she says, "John, I hate to ask you this, but would you mind lifting my legs up on the stool? I can't do it any longer."
Huh.
And so right as I'm lifting this old woman's swollen legs up on the stool, I feel the Holy Spirit saying to me, "Would this be enough?" And then says to me, if this was my whole purpose for your afternoon, was so that you could be here to lift this old woman's legs up on the stool, would that be enough for you?
Huh.
Would that satisfy you?" And God and I both knew the answer was no. And yet that's where I had to start wrestling with, what does it mean to serve God's purposes? If it only means doing the things I like or that I'm passionate about or that are immediate results or that are highly respected or all that, then that's one thing. But if it means that I realize I get to lift this old woman's legs up for Jesus, then that's all. That's all I need for that day.
Yeah.
And that was one of those clarifying moments where God was moving me towards embracing that, but He and I both knew I wasn't quite there yet.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I think we're dealing with here.
Man, I am not sure I remember that story. That is so beautiful. I mean, just like such a powerful picture of, it just so well illustrates that there isn't a divide, that it's all for God's purposes. So I think, Dad, thank you. This was another great opportunity. I mean, I just love getting to hear from you. Thanks for sharing. I think my big takeaway today is just, as I move through my days, to kind of maybe stop and recognize, like what you said, that there isn't a secular spiritual divide, and kind of periodically throughout the day to recognize, you know, this is work that I can and want to do to the glory of God, you know, not just as some mundane task. And what you said about, like, we have to be praying and asking God for help to do it and do things in a way that glorifies Him. So that's my takeaway today. Thanks so much.
Oh, you bet. It's good to do this with you, Laura.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, listeners, thanks for joining us. Hope to have you listen next time.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.